If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
True crime, unsolved cases, strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the third season of The Deadly Countdown. Episode 7, Casey Anthony. Truth, Lies, and Consequences. I'm going to begin this episode with a trigger warning. This episode will touch on themes of the death of an infant, descriptive details about horrific accounts, and an all-round heartbreaking tale any way you cut it. What we are left with is a case that arguably even now throws up more questions than it does answers. There are those who today are still baying for blood. There are those who question whether the lawmakers made the right decision. And there are even those who are looking to change the law itself based on this very case. Welcome back to The Deadly Countdown, Season 3, Episode 7. And I must say, this season is flying by. Maybe it's the change in how we're going about things. Listeners of Season 1 and 2 will be fully aware that Season 3 onwards will be different from the first two seasons as we take a more casual look. And by casual, I don't mean any disrespect to the crimes, indeed the murders, etc., that we will be taking a look at. What I mean is I, as a presenter, will be more myself. I'll be giving my opinions more, as opposed to just reading from a script. Now, I'm no expert in true crime. Some of you may have already guessed that. But one thing I am truly fascinated in is the human being itself. Us, our minds, how we think, how we react under stress. What drives us to do these things that we're talking about on each episode? For me, true crime should not give you sleepless nights. It should give you an insight into the human psyche. Because only realistically, in true crime, do we see the very end points, the very pressure points, if you will, the furthest stretches possible. that a human being or a human mind can reach before it quite literally snaps. Or on some occasions, it doesn't snap. Some unique individuals out there, and I mean this in a bad way, have the ability to walk that tightrope just on the edge of snapping. They can control it. They want to control it. And usually it's because they want to control others. And one additional and rather scary thing I've found in doing this show is occasionally we will talk about a particular trait that a criminal has. And I'll personally think, I do that. And that terrifies me. Don't get me wrong, I don't do the other 98% of what that individual does to be a murderer or a criminal in general. But I think what is the most terrifying thing is just how alike we are to the people we call monsters. Now, before we begin today's episode, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our team at Patreon. We're slowly but consistently building a wonderful group of like-minded true crime enthusiasts over at Patreon. Now, when you sign up, you'll receive these episodes, both ad-free and before everyone else. And you can gain exclusive access to the Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case. And yes, what the show's about is in the title. We take a look at some of the most famous unsolved cases throughout history. And we've already built up quite the back catalogue to go through. So if that sounds like your thing, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. And in our season 3 finale, we'll be reading out all of our Patreon's names. So if you'd like that, head on over. But right now, for Casey Anthony, Truth, Lies and Consequences, let's start the clock. Today, we're going to delve into one of the most perplexing and debated criminal cases of the 21st century. The case of Casey Anthony and the tragic disappearance and death of her daughter, Kaylee Anthony. This story not only captivated the nation, but also stirred a massive media frenzy and a whirlwind of public opinion. Kaylee Anthony was only 2 years old when she vanished in the summer of 2008. Her absence, cloaked in mystery, and her mother, Casey, was at the centre of the storm. Over the months that followed, the investigation would unfold like a dark novel. Every chapter more confounding than the last, culminating in a trial that gripped and polarised the American public like very few cases before. Seriously, it's cases like this that truly make you question how well do we know those around us? How could a situation so heartbreaking unfold under our noses as we go about our day-to-day tasks? This Casey Anthony case, with all of its twists and turns, shows us just how deep the rabbit hole is of human behaviour. But as we set the stage for this deep dive, it's essential to paint the picture of the innocent life at the heart of this case. Kaylee, a little girl with a bright smile whose life was tragically cut short. Her disappearance initially went unreported by her own mother for 31 days. 31 days. That boggles the mind. And that's the situation that turned Casey Anthony from a grieving mother to the prime suspect in the eyes of the majority of people. And let me just say, from the very start, this case was a media circus. Every twist in the story was broadcast, dissected, and debated across living rooms and social media. It was not just a news story, it was an obsession. A true crime saga unfolding before your very eyes. But as we know, media storms can both illuminate and obscure something that's going on. This episode aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of events, lies, and truth that define the Casey Anthony case, We'll explore the timeline of Kaylee's disappearance, the ensuing investigation, the dramatic courtroom battles, and everything that captured the world's attention. So let's begin by rewinding the clock and try and piece together the sequence of events from when Kaylee Anthony was last seen alive to the grim discovery of her remains. And that timeline starts in June 2008, and that marks a critical juncture not just in the lives of the Anthony family, but in what would become a highly scrutinised legal saga. June 16th, 2008, is believed to be the last day Kaylee was seen alive. She was with her mum, Casey, at her grandparents' home in Orlando. From here, the details get murky, and the accounts start to diverge. I mean, think about that for one second. One day you're a family, albeit with your ups and downs, and then suddenly, everything changes. Because the next few weeks for the Anthony family were nothing short of a baffling disappearance act mixed with a chilling calm from Casey. And the two don't add up. Following June the 16th, Casey's behaviour even raises eyebrows. You see, as we've stated, she didn't report Kaylee missing. Instead, she carried on life as usual. Photos from this time show Casey partying at clubs, getting a tattoo, even participating in a hot body contest. Now, they're actions that starkly contrast the desperate search that you'd expect from a concerned mother, surely. But it's not until nearly a month later, on July the 15th, that Kaylee is officially reported missing by her grandmother, Cindy Anthony, who also alerts the police to a concerning discovery. Casey's car, which Cindy says smells like a dead body. Now, you have to ask yourself, what's with the long wait? The smell from the car, the month of silence, these things don't just tug at your heartstrings, they yank them out. This case doesn't drip with suspicion, it pours with suspicion. The initial investigation spirals into a frantic search for Kaylee. And over the next few months, law enforcement, along with a countless amount of volunteers, comb the area around the Anthony home and beyond, and they follow up on numerous tips from the public. But none of these lead to Kaylee. On December the 11th, 2008, the search for Kaylee comes to a tragic conclusion. Because it was on this chilling Thursday that utility worker Roy Cronk stumbled upon what appeared to be a skull in a heavily wooded area just off Suburban Drive, located less than half a mile from the Anthony residence. This area, familiar to the Anthony family, suddenly transformed from ordinary suburban scenery into the centre of the grimmest of crime scenes. Imagine the shock, the horror that must have rippled through that community, through every volunteer who'd given up countless hours to search for the tiny girl. Finding her this way, so close to your home, it's something that grabs your soul with cold fingers. How many times had they walked by, unknowing that they're so close to the truth, hidden between the leaves? Upon finding the skull, the area is immediately cordoned off. Forensic teams are called in, and the remains, heavily decomposed and scattered, were collected meticulously by crime scene investigators. The medical examiner later confirmed the remains as Kaylee's through DNA analysis. Amongst the evidence found were pieces of duct tape, which were positioned in a manner that suggested they'd been placed over the mouth of the skull. Now, that detail about the duct tape, well, that just speaks volumes about a puzzle that you can't overlook. It shouts about not just how, but why. It paints the grimmest of pictures. this wasn't an accident. Someone wanted to ensure Kaylee couldn't cry. She couldn't call for help. It turns your stomach, and it makes you angry, and it breaks your heart at the same time. How close it was to the Anthony home raises immediate and troubling questions about the involvement of Kaylee's family, especially Casey, in this whole disappearance and death. This discovery fundamentally shifts the nature of the case from a missing person investigation to a homicide investigation. And it set the stage for a new phase of the case, focusing on forensics and the analysis of the evidence found with Kaylee's remains, trying desperately to piece together the last moments of the poor girl's life. The woods off Suburban Drive, a place that perhaps once echoed with the laughter of kids, is now marked a somber, silent testament to a life lost far too soon. As we go on, we'll dive deeper into the implications of this discovery and how it would shape the legal battles that followed. Every piece of evidence, every forensic detail, only added layers to a story that no one wanted to be true. The day Kaylee's remains were found marked a pivotal moment in this harrowing case. And it also brought a tragic closure to the search. And in doing so, it opened a complex chapter of forensic investigation and legal scrutiny that would captivate and enrage the public in the months and years to come. And just like that, a family's worst nightmare has become real. The sight of the skull, not far from your own house, suggests the unimaginable. That the answers were always close to you. It's the kind of revelation that not only sends shivers down your spine, but makes you question the very nature of the people around you, the things they say and the emotions they display. There are more puzzle pieces scattered with more questions than answers, and the investigation into Kaylee's death intensifies. And soon, quite obviously, the focus shifts squarely onto Casey Anthony herself.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
As we dive into the investigation of Kaylee Anthony's disappearance and eventual death, we uncover a web of deception, critical delays, and a series of missteps that perplexed not only the authorities, but the nation. So, July the 15th, 2008, nearly a full month after Kaylee was last seen, when Cindy Anthony, Kaylee's grandmother, made the frantic 911 call, Cindy declared that her granddaughter had been missing for a month and expressed her fear that something terrible had happened. The call also brought up the disturbing detail of Casey's car, which Cindy claimed smelled like there'd been a dead body inside. You have to imagine the desperation, calling the police to report your own daughter because you think she might be involved in your granddaughter's disappearance. I mean, that's not just a red flag. That's a red screaming siren. Following the 911 call, law enforcement swing into action, and Casey is soon brought in for questioning. Detectives found her account of Kaylee's whereabouts filled with holes, riddled with inconsistencies. Casey initially told detectives that Kaylee had been kidnapped by a nanny named Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, a person who later proved to be completely made up. So that's where the plot thickens to the consistency of quicksand. A nanny no one can find because they don't exist. A child missing for over a month, and a mother whose stories are more twisted than a labyrinth. You'd think this was ripped from a bad crime novel. Further investigations revealed more troubling signs. Casey's behaviour during the time her daughter is supposedly missing is obviously at odds with a grieving mother. She's in nightclubs, she's at parties, she's living a carefree lifestyle. Actions that don't really tie in with someone who's deeply concerned about their missing 2-year-old daughter. Her actions during this time were all documented by friends, captured on photos, showing her partying, getting a new tattoo that read Bella Vita, or Italian for beautiful life. I'd say that's ironic, but it's more surreal. On one hand, your world should be falling apart. Your 2-year-old child is missing. On the other, you're out, you're living it up, you're getting tattoos that celebrate life. It doesn't add up. None of it adds up. Unless the life you're celebrating is the one that you've now got without any burdens, without anyone relying on you, one that you've created very recently, yourself. This part of the investigation sets the stage for a courtroom drama unlike any other. Casey's now a prime suspect, and the evidence gathered in these early stages will become crucial in the trial. the complex web of lies and her enigmatic behaviour paint a chilling picture that does leave more questions than answers. As the investigation unfolds, the media's role becomes increasingly significant. The case grabs the attention of the public and press, and it turns it into one of the most highly publicised trials of that decade. From the moment Kaylee was reported missing, the media swarmed the family. Every detail of the case was scrutinised, from the 911 calls made by Cindy to the conflicting stories told by Casey. News networks and local outlets alike broadcast daily updates, and the public consumed hungrily every last piece of information. Because, you know, in today's world, the line between news and entertainment is quite blurry. And in the Casey case, it wasn't just blurred, it was obliterated. Everyone had an opinion, and they weren't shy about sharing it. Whether it was on news panels or social media, it was like watching a real-life courtroom drama come to life. The role of the media was not just limited to reporting. It also influenced public perception significantly. Pundits and legal experts filled hours of TV time, often portraying Casey as guilty before she'd even been tried in court. And this constant media pressure created a spectacle and possibly influenced the proceedings of the trial. Now, I've done something intentional on this episode of the podcast. Yes, I've told you nothing but the facts of the case, but I have already myself spun them in such a way to try and make you think Casey is guilty. And I'm not saying she's not. What I am saying is, it's very interesting how even on this, an entertainment podcast, before we've even got to the outcome of the case, the outcome of the trial, I've already tried to push you down a certain narrative. And we need to be aware of that at all times. I don't mean on this show. I mean when we're watching TV, when we're listening to radio, when we're on social media, when we're doing anything. Worse, what somebody says could influence our outcome or our decisions or our opinions or our choices. Arguably, in 2024, we've never been more vulnerable to be manipulated by the media. Casey's trial began on May the 24th, 2011, in Orlando, Florida. And as I say, it wasn't just a legal battle, it was a national event. It was watched by millions across the states. The charges against Casey included first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and four counts of providing false information to the police. Casey pled not guilty to all charges. The defense, led by attorney Jose Baez, presented a startling claim during the opening statements that Kaylee had accidentally drowned in the family's swimming pool on June the 16th and that Casey and her father, George Anthony, had covered up the accident. This narrative was intended to explain Casey's behaviour and the condition of Kaylee's remains without implicating Casey in a murder. You can imagine the courtroom's reaction. Total and utter shock. You've got a defence that flips the narrative entirely, turning what we all presume is a heinous act into a tragic accident followed by a panicked cover-up. And it's moments like these that make you question everything you think you know about a case. Although you could argue, quite rightly, if there is a genuine accident, why would you need to cover it up? For example, if I finish recording now, head home, and my partner's laying dead, touch wood, this isn't the case, of course, but she's laying dead in the back garden. I'm not going to wrap her in a carpet and bury her and hope nobody notices. I'm going to phone the police. So, it's a very strange move by the defense team to pull out this narrative of a cover-up of an accident. Because who would do that? Let's look back at the case. So the defense have just spat out this cover-up of an accident scenario. The prosecution, on the other hand, led by Linda Drane Burdick and Jeff Ashton, argued that Casey used chloroform to sedate Kaylee, then applied duct tape to suffocate her. The motive, according to the prosecution, was Casey's desire to free herself from the responsibilities of motherhood. What evidence did they have? Well, there were traces of chloroform in Casey's car. And there were computer searches for terms like how to make chloroform, which were made by Casey. Evidence brought forward by the prosecution included the smell of human decomposition detected in Casey's car by several witnesses, including a cadaver dog handler. Forensic experts testified about the presence of chloroform in the car's trunk. Where also a hair strand consistent with Kaylee's DNA was found. The most damning physical evidence, however, was the duct tape found near Kaylee's skull, which the prosecution argued was the murder weapon. Now you've got to think, with evidence like that, how do you even begin to see the other side of the coin? The prosecution paint a very clear picture of premeditation and malice. A far cry from the defense's tale of a tragic accident. It's a stark, unsettling contrast that would shape the outcome of the trial. The defense would challenge the prosecution's evidence by questioning the reliability of forensic methods used to detect decomposition and chloroform. They argued, unbelievably, that the evidence was circumstantial and did not conclusively prove that Casey murdered her daughter. Furthermore, the defense sought to discredit the notion that the duct tape was a murder weapon, suggesting it could have been placed after Kaylee's death. Now, as I stated earlier, I'm no expert, but I'd like to think I have a rational head on my shoulders. I just don't see how someone searching for how to make chloroform on the internet, then finding traces of chloroform both in the trunk of the car along with a strand of hair from the victim, is circumstantial. I just don't see how that's the case. Anyway, after nearly 6 weeks of testimony and less than 11 hours of deliberation, the jury found Casey not guilty of first-degree murder, not guilty of aggravated child abuse, and not guilty of aggravated manslaughter of a child. She was found guilty of 4 misdemeanor counts of providing false information to law enforcement. Now, you can only imagine how the public dealt with that outcome. It was outrage and it was disbelief. It was one of those you would remember exactly where you were when you heard the news type of moments. And obviously, it's a verdict that still sparks debate to this day. Casey's trial was a dramatic and polarizing event that questioned the very effectiveness of the legal system. It highlighted issues, particularly around the handling of forensic evidence, and of course, the influence of the media on jury decisions. It also led to proposed legal reforms, notably Kaylee's Law, which in some states makes it a felony for a parent or guardian to fail to report a missing child in a timely manner. The Casey Anthony case remains ever controversial and widely discussed. It's emblematic of cases where the outcome leaves more questions than answers. And it challenges us to think critically about justice, media responsibility, and how we, as human beings, respond to these tragedies, be it online or in public discourse. There have been several documentaries made about this case, one which includes several interviews with Casey herself, and I would strongly suggest you give them a watch. But right now, for the Deadly Countdown, and for Casey Anthony, Truth, Lies, and Consequences, let's stop the clock.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.